You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, you'll hear from a doctor who just returned from the center of the Ebola outbreak. And don't quit your job until you hear what our expert has to say. Let's meet the friends. Erin Myers has the day off. She'll be back on Thursday. Us guys will try to hold things together. Formatting his hard drive as we speak, Jay Campidonia is here.
An Oscar-winning actress says her leaked nude photos is not a scandal. I'll tell you what she's calling it.
And living the life worth living, it's Chris Martin.
Phil, we're going to talk about one woman's request to die with dignity and what that may mean to the rest of society.
All right, very good. I left there for a moment. Did you notice? I got back in a hurry, though.
Yeah. You all right?
Yeah,
did
I'm
you
good.
Breakfast today?
I'm good. I can raise my hands and I can smile.
Okay.
All right.
Can you do the dexterity test?
Yes, I can.
It wasn't
a stroke.
Okay, that's good.
Right.
I mean, you are getting up there, but I don't think you're in stroke territory,
yeah.
Are you?
You know what? I saw this thing on TV, though, but we have like 1,000 strokes a week, like mini strokes. Most people do.
What?
Yeah. You just have these mini strokes. Your brain is in a constant state of stroking out, and then you get the big one eventually.
Well, that's nice. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, isn't that great?
All right.
Well, we're all on an even stroke playing field is all that means.
Yeah, I suppose if you really break it down, every heartbeat's a mini stroke, isn't it?
Sure, Chris. You just broke a bunch of hearts right there.
Good job, buddy.
All right. Hey, Jay, what do you say we get things started? And here's the thing. All these actresses, they keep taking naked pictures of themselves and putting them on their cell phones. I don't know why they're doing that.
And we're not mad at them for doing that, by the way.
No, apparently not. Because every now and then, the pictures get out and we get to see them.
And the internet loves it. The internet loves it. Now, we told you last week that 12 of these celebrities that have their boobs all over the internet now, thanks to some dirtbags who hacked the cloud, they're going after Google for $100 million.
Yeah.
And they said, look, Google, you knew that we're not going to publicly release these photos. You should have kept them off the internet, so now you owe us money. Well, Jennifer Lawrence was the number one searched name out of the phone hack a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And she's an Oscar-winning actress. She is gorgeous. She is beautiful. And the photos are...
They're not just poses, are they?
They are not just poses.
They're action shots.
There's a couple of them, and you're just kind of like, well, what are you doing? But anyways, in an interview with Vanity Fair, she's not calling the phone hack a scandal.
What's she calling it?
A sex crime.
Wait a minute. Who's charged with the sex crime?
She says it's not a scandal. It's a sex crime.
How is that possible?
This is what is a conundrum right now, because where do you draw the line?
All right. If she's laying on a nude beach in France.
Right.
And I'm walking along in my Bermuda shorts and a bad tourist hat.
Wait, you're on a nude beach, Phil. Why are you wearing shorts?
I'm
and a
tourist.
Hat?
And I,
yeah.
I have,
okay.
I've got my wife beater on, Bermuda shorts, and that white sunblock across my face.
And your socks and sandals.
Exactly.
Yes.
And a camera. Oh, hey, look, honey, it's naked Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, take some pictures. Okay,
of course.
Great. All right. Now, did I just commit a sex crime? I don't think so. Now,
I don't think so.
No, your wife did, because she's the one that asked you to do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But if Jennifer Lawrence's boyfriend is there on the beach, takes some pictures of her, and they go up into their hotel room, and then later on, my wife says, hey, honey, sneak into their hotel room and steal those pictures while they're downstairs having drinks in the bar. Now, did I commit a sex crime, or is that just...
That's robbery, Phil.
Robbery.
Thievery, yeah.
That's robbery, and that's all it is, Phil.
Burglary.
Burglary. So that's all it is. So for her to be calling it a sex crime, she says the laws need to be changed, blah, 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 blah. I got an idea. Stop acting like a whore. Just saying.
Whoa. Mm.
Just saying.
Throwing
it
down
might
the
help.
Gauntlet.
Making a note for the website. Jay says Jennifer Lawrence.
I did not say that.
Is a whore.
But I'm saying if you're going to take those photos at this point in time and in 2014 and in this technological age, you got to realize that those photos are going to get out somehow, some way.
Well, she broke this. Her and the other group of celebrities that were hacked originally. This did not exist prior to Jennifer Lawrence's phone being the first group of phones to get hacked. So. Prior to that, she was safe. At least everybody thought we were, right?
And everyone was safe from being accused of sex crimes.
Right. You know, and by the way, where does the sex crimes accusal stop? If we look at it as, which by the way, I saw some of these. I wasn't looking for it. They were almost forced upon me.
Oh, so are you
and now am I a sex
Chris?
Offender? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
And, and we're getting numb. There are so many photos out there. We're getting numb to this. Eventually, all the guys, all of us guys are going to need Viagra just to even care.
It's one way to look at it.
Is that true, Jay?
No.
I suppose it depends on how old you are.
It's not true?
No, it's not true. But, you know, they always say in the commercials, if you do have to take that kind of stuff.
Yeah. If an erection lasts longer than 4 hours, consult a doctor immediately.
Yes. Well, a guy in England had 4 hours and then some.
Uh-oh.
12 hours.
12?
12 hours. I don't know if he took a handful of the stuff or what. You know, I don't know what kind of pills he was taking. But 12 hours, he's got this rager, and he had to go to the hospital, so he finally went. They had to pull an... This actually made me queasy to read, and it made me hurt. You know when you look off a building and people say, oh, it makes your feet hurt?
Yeah.
When you hear this, it's going to make other things hurt.
Uh-oh.
Doctors had to drain 2 pints of blood from his member.
Wow. Doesn't the human body only have like 6 or 8 pints?
I'm not exactly sure.
Is that right, Chris?
I mean, I'm pulling that out of memory. It may or may not be correct.
You might want to look that up real quick, because I'd be interested to know.
Let me look.
Because by comparison, that 2 pints.
That's a lot.
You think about, where was he, in England?
In England. That's a lot of blood.
Because you think about a pint in England, that's something you belly up to the bar at the pub, right? And you have
so
a pint.
You figure your 2 glasses of draft beer.
Yeah. Problem is, this guy couldn't belly up to the bar. He had to, he was a stool's distance away.
He said nothing would make him go flaccid. Nothing. He tried everything. Working out, exercising, going for a swim, jogging, but no.
Did the drainage work?
The drainage did work. He called the pain a 10 out of a 10.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Well, ladies, haven't giving birth, okay, you might take offense to the guy saying that was 10 out of 10. Because the giving birth and passing a kidney stone, those are both 10s.
Right.
Right?
Maybe even an 11. And by the way, the human body, the average human body contains 8 to 10 pints of blood. So he had 20% of the blood from his body, 20 to 30%.
Well, can count on Dr. Chris over here. Body.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
How Dr. about Google, thank you.
Dr. Google. Hey, USA! Start the chant.
USA! That's right,
USA.
Baby.
USA!
That's right. One more reason why America is better than you guys up to the north in Canada. Do you guys know what poutine is?
It's the guy in Russia who runs the country.
No, not Vladimir Putin. It's a tasty dish, is it not?
It is a tasty dish. It consists of fries, cheese curds, and gravy. And in Canada, well, I mean, it's so cold up there, you got to eat something warm.
Is that the national dish in
Canada? I'm not sure if it's the national dish, but I know that it is very good. It's very tasty. Oh, there's a place down in Redondo Beach that has wonderful poutine, by the way. A guy from San Jose, California, went up to the World Poutine Eating Championship and dominated.
No kidding.
Dominated. Beat every other Canadian on the stand. He is now the World Poutine Eating Champion, and he's an American guy.
He's not Canadian.
No, and he goes by the nickname Megatoad.
Wow.
How do you eat it? Do you use a utensil, or do you just go at it with your hands, stick your face in it, slurp?
In the championship, you have no hands, so it's kind of like a pie-eating contest. They throw a plate of poutine in front of you, and you got to gorge yourself.
Hands behind your back, face first.
He ate 15 pounds of poutine in 10 minutes.
15 pounds, and he's got 8 to 10 pints of blood in his body.
Yeah, right?
Something's got to give.
Yeah, well, anyways, you know, you guys know who Joey Chestnut is, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's the hot dog eating champion guy.
Yeah.
He only ate 12 pounds. So that's how badass this guy is, Megatoad.
How many pounds of poutine?
Megatoad had 15 pounds in 10 minutes. Chestnut only had 12 pounds.
Again, French fries, cheese curds, and gravy.
And gravy.
Wow.
Is this guy a big guy, Jay? The guy that just puts on 15 pounds or shoves 15 pounds in his stomach?
The size of a toad.
No, he looks fairly normal as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't give his stats here, but he looks fairly normal.
These guys are killing themselves.
Yeah, they really are.
But if you are going to die, you might as well die with dignity.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a law up in Oregon that allows you to do that if you indeed, for very good reasons, decide that you need to end your life. And Chris has a story all about a young lady who's going to do that in a matter of days. And you'll hear about it next, right here, on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for listening. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Tell your friends. Find out all the different ways you can listen to the program at philhewlettandfriends.com and then click on the How to Listen page. And we just added another outlet. We're on Spreaker now. Spreaker.
Like speaker?
Yeah, only with a with an R stuck in there for no apparent reason.
Like sprinkler.
Yeah, only Spreaker.
Right.
.com, which apparently is a cool place. I hadn't known about it until recently, and so we're in there. Just step by step, taking over the entire world. You know, there are 10 cliches we can't stop using. We all like to think of ourselves as being totally original, but we do say a lot of cliche things. And a new survey asked people which famous words of wisdom they can't stop repeating as they get older.
Oh, I got to hear this.
Do you have one?
That's not
bad. Oh, no, don't tell me yet because maybe it's on the list. All right, here are the top 10. Practice makes perfect.
Ugh.
Do you say, you don't, do you say, I'm sure I've said that.
Of course.
I've probably said it 100 or more times.
Treat others how you'd like to be treated, or words to that effect. The golden golden rule, right?
But that's good. That one you want to keep around.
Yeah, it is.
That's good for kids.
Don't get rid of that one. We can't stop using it. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Well, there you go.
But you sound like a grandpa when you say that.
Exactly.
If at first you don't. Okay.
Same thing with like the horse throwing you off and then getting back on it.
I've never said this. Manners cost nothing.
Oh, that's good. I like it. I've never used it.
I'm going to start saying it.
I like it, Phil.
Never even heard it till just now.
Okay. All right. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Yes, you can.
Oh, but... yeah. Well, right. That's what got you on this show, Jay.
Exactly. Bingo.
Good things come to those who wait.
I like that one.
Two wrongs don't make a right. These are all good ones, huh?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good advice.
Yeah. A handful more. Just a few more. There's only 10. That was number 7. The most important thing isn't winning. It's taking part.
Oh.
And I've never said that because I don't believe in that.
I agree.
You got to learn how to win and learn how to lose.
Yeah, that one sounds cliche.
And you learn from losing, don't you? You learn more about losing and failing than you do about winning.
Agreed.
And, yeah. Although it's nice to win. Never say never.
That's my mom's favorite.
Is it?
Yeah.
Never
yeah.
say never.
Every time somebody says that, though, I say, too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? You just said it twice. And then finally, there's no time like the present.
Yeah, those are good, though. They're good advice, but maybe a little bit overused.
And for that, no time like the present, Chris, it seems like it is the perfect time for a young lady to exercise her right under the law in Oregon. But we want to understand a little better now. This lady wants to end her life. Is that right?
She does, yeah. Yesterday, 29-year-old Brittany Maynard announced that she will be taking her own life in less than a month. Maynard has stage 4 glioblastoma, which is a malignant brain tumor.
Ooh.
And she has discussed with many experts how this tumor would eventually take her life and the symptoms that she would experience. And she's already experiencing several of those symptoms. So she has chosen to move to Oregon with her husband and exercise their Death with Dignity Act.
Yep.
And she will be given a medicine prescribed by her doctor in that area that will allow her to take her own life or her family to take her life rather than let the tumor or the disease do it for her.
Now, is this going to be something that is going to be kept private amongst the family? It's not going to be televised or YouTubized or anything like that?
I don't know what the what their plan is with the actual ingestion of the serum that will take her life, but so far she is all over the internet. She is making videos with her family, about her family, about her life. She's trying real hard to bring awareness to this issue because there are so few states that offer this service. So she's trying to get it expanded because she had to move from San Francisco. She says it's so difficult to uproot everything to be able to do this.
Is Kevorkian still in jail?
I think he's dead.
Yeah, oh, he died?
I think he did pass away, yeah.
I believe he's dead, Phil.
By natural causes.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, he, something got him.
Should we ask Dr. Google?
Other than himself.
Now, Chris, is it a like lethal injection? Because they're having all these problems, you know, trying to execute these murderers and rapists and whatever else with the three-drug cocktail.
I see where you're going with this.
Is it a one-drug cocktail? What, do we know what kind of...
Jay, I know what you're doing here.
What's that?
If this lady's got this wired, if she figures it out in one shot, why the heck can't the penal system figure it out as well?
Yeah, and maybe it has to do with the mass production differences as well, because so far this drug, from what I understand, has a 100% success rate. Now, the percentages...
Is it a bullet?
No, it's not. Yeah, no, it's a chemical cocktail.
Oh, okay.
But the percentages are kind of interesting from the standpoint that I think like 1,200 people have exercised the option and been prescribed the drug, but only 700 or so of them have actually gone through with it.
Hmm.
So you could be prescribed the drug if you're deemed competent to make that decision
right,
and eventually, you know, not use it, but go back on it. But.
So do we know besides Oregon, how many other states are there? Only a handful. Huh?
New Mexico. I don't know the rest of them offhand, but I think that there's six in total, maybe even less than that. California, it's actually up for consideration this next round of voting.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be one of the things that we'll be considering here in this state.
Interesting shift. In mores, definitely.
Well, if somebody wants to do it themselves, I don't have a problem with that, right?
Yeah, there's a battery of tests.
As long as you're not hurting anybody else,
well,
that's kind of the moral question.
I don't know. Yeah, that's the whole thing. There was a time that when we believed we were all part of humanity.
Right.
And that any whittling away of the sanctity of life, either at the hands of another or at your own hands, was a crime against humanity. And since we're all part of humanity, then if somebody commits suicide, it was a crime against us. I think I have the thinking there correct, but we're getting away from that now.
Interesting.
In thinking further.
To avoid suffering.
Yeah.
You know.
Along the lines of personal freedom and this whole idea, at what point do I say, hey, look, I don't want to endure any more of this.
Yeah.
But then again, there are people who just, you know, some people, I don't want for a moment to try to understand what drives people to commit suicide. But it seems to me from time to time we hear stories about people that, hey, they're going to kill themselves over that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems like something that they could have easily overcome. But then again, you can't put yourself in the person's shoes. But then the degrees of when is it okay for somebody to say, yeah, I need to take my life now.
Well, if you're terminally ill, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If you got, you know.
So who decides?
The doctors do. I mean, you have to, like I said, you have to take a battery of tests, including written and oral and all of
that. So this is what Kevorkian wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He wanted doctors to be able to prescribe a death with dignity.
Yep.
So he's not around to see this.
Interesting stuff.
Not around to see it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'll tell you one thing that'll give you a heart attack.
What's that, Jay?
Is if you go to this place in London and you order one of their glam burgers.
Glam burger?
It's called a glam burger. And I'll tell you what, it would give me a heart attack when I got the check. $1,700, Phil.
A $1,700
burger. $1,700
burger.
And it doesn't even have cheese on it, man.
That better give me a back rub.
Yeah, right? It is believed to be the world's most expensive burger. Okay, and here's what it's got on it. Kobe beef.
Yeah.
New Zealand venison, Canadian lobster poached in Iranian saffron,
wow.
Beluga caviar,
oh.
Hickory smoked duck egg, and an edible gold leaf.
What? Hmm. Is gold tasty?
I have no idea.
Is it like when you put foil paper in your mouth and you chew it and it makes your teeth hurt?
Yeah, I have
Is that
no
what that's
idea.
Like?
I cringe just thinking about that.
It contains 2,600 calories. So that might give you a heart attack
well,
as well.
Well, that's not so bad. I mean, they've got Carl's Jr. burgers that are in the 2,000 range, don't
I'll
they?
Tell you what, that's the best.
What?
The half-pound, $6 burger from Carl's Jr.
Yeah. If you can get it all down your face and not in your lap, right?
Oh, no, this is not what you eat in the car. This is something you take home and you break out the fine china and the placemats because this thing is amazing.
When in the world is Carl's Jr. going to open up the wallet and sponsor this program? Seems like we mention them every third show.
Right.
Here's the cool thing about the Glam Burger. Groupon is holding a contest right now, and they are going to be giving away a free Glam Burger.
Wow. So we can get a free shot at that gold leaf in our
$1,700.
Free meat. I'm selling it if I win that free one. I'm going to turn around and sell it.
Would you mark
half
it up?
Half price. No.
Oh, half price.
Sure. I just want to get rid of it. No problem.
Yeah. Or piecemeal it out.
I think you got to eat that beluga stuff and the quail egg or whatever the heck is in there in a hurry. Otherwise, it starts to turn.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Hickory smoked quail, duck egg and beluga caviar.
Is there any mustard on there?
No. That's what I'm saying.
French's American mustard, by the way?
Yes.
Owned by a British company?
No, it's not.
It is, too.
Really?
It is, too. You didn't know that, did you?
What the hell? I'm
That's
not buying it anymore.
Why you listen to this show. You find out things. Hey, if you're stuck in a dead-end job and you are ready to just say, I quit, how do you know if you won't regret your decision in the morning? We want you to be prepared, and that's exactly what an expert is going to explain to us and to you next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, don't quit listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, because if you do, you will not be getting checks from the government, I promise. We forgot to pay into that fund. I'm Phil. Jay is here. Chris is here. Erin has the day off. She will be back on our next episode, she promises. Have you been reading the Twitter people all saying, come on, guys, where's Erin? Bring
Erin
back. Yeah, that's what they've been saying.
What'd she do, have a dog emergency?
Or
She's
a cat.
Got like eight to choose from.
Maybe a dog and a cat got together. End of the world kind of thing.
Hey, did you hear that a cat got a blood transfusion from a dog?
What's going to happen next?
I don't know. What? Does the cat now have dog tendencies and like want to poop on your neighbor's yard?
Right. You know what? If you could add a few characteristics from a dog into a cat, you might have the perfect pet.
I think so, yeah. There's a happy medium there.
I believe there is.
Yeah.
We should get a doctor on the phone and ask him if we can mutate something, you know, make the perfect pet. Like
well, that. I can tell you that today's program is full of doctors. In fact, we all hit our breaking point, and often it happens on the job. But these days, you should count your blessings if you get a paycheck, right? So before you tell your boss to take this job and shove it, you'd better have a plan. And joining us live is Dr. Greg Marcus. He's been on the program before. His book is called Busting Your Corporate Idol. It's in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Dr. Marcus, thanks as always for being on, sir. You are a PhD and a recovering workaholic. So quitting for you used to mean you had two or three other jobs waiting in the wings, right?
Well, I rarely quit, but I would work myself into a corner where sometimes it's felt like that was the only thing that I could do to get my life back.
Yeah, I could relate to it too. I get nervous when I don't have something to do, but it's pretty common though, isn't it, for people to just suddenly say, "I've had it, I quit."
Well, people just keep, you know, trying and trying in negative situations, and they think that magically things are going to get better. And then one day they just throw their hands up and they say, "I've had enough." And if we take a few steps ahead of time to avoid getting in that situation, we can make a much more informed decision.
All right. An informed decision would be count to 10, go back to your desk and...
Yeah, get back to work, fool.
Yeah, exactly, Jay.
What's the matter
with you? Get back to work. you know, if you decide to count to 10, you go back to your desk, you still have the problem, though. I mean, what's the mindset that you think people should go through, or there should be a step by step process, or maybe even some kind of a plan that you come up with if you are ultimately going to exit that job?
Well, what I recommend is that people, yeah, absolutely. There are a number of different factors. And in my exit plan blueprint, I've put together 8 or 10 different things for people to consider. But the top three are what I call the financial, the internal, and the external. So the first one, the financial, is the easiest one to understand. It's how many months, if you didn't get any more paychecks, how many months could you go paying your mortgage and paying for food?
Months. Oof. I'm more like hours at this point.
Yeah, wow. And a lot of people, Jay, are in that situation.
Exactly, right?
Naturally. So, I mean, that's a big factor. So if you don't have a lot of flex room in that scenario, then, hey, you better just get the nose back to the grindstone, huh?
That's right. If you need that paycheck at the end of the week to pay for next week, then there's your answer. But if you're in that situation, then it's worth taking a look at ways to maybe cut back your expenses and pay down some of the credit card debt to build up a little bit of nest egg. Because if you have that 3 or 4 month cushion, then we don't have this feeling like we're carrying the world on our shoulders. And if we lose our job, we're going to be out on the street.
Yeah, but that internal part that I don't believe you've gotten to yet. I would imagine that if the job is just killing you emotionally or otherwise, and when you get home from work, you are just completely spent and you're a wreck and you're a waste and it's destroying every other part of your life, then maybe it's worth taking that risk if you only have a couple of weeks worth of nest egg.
Well, if you're really in trouble.
Oh, go ahead. You can get that, sir. It's totally fine.
It's probably more work.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, I'm just hang on a second. I got a big, I got CNN calling me on the other line.
Oh, come on.
He had to pull the CNN card.
Oh, come on.
Hey, no, but, you know, all of those emotional things are really important, but there's also an emotional attachment we have to work. So if you're thinking about quitting, you need to ask yourself, are you ready for feeling guilty, or maybe people giving you a guilt trip, like you're abandoning the team, or will you feel comfortable walking away from something if the job's not done, or are you going to feel like you failed somehow by quitting? And the advice I give to people is, you know what, resigning, it's a professional decision. You know, and you don't want this to feel like it's something that you're going to have to make it up to somebody. You're going to have to prove yourself in another way. When it's time to go, we just want to leave with our head held high and ready for our next opportunity.
Yeah, and you know what? When I resign, I want to have a person at a PR firm write an actual press release on my resignation so that I control the message. But not everybody has that option. But you know, when the guys who have the big jobs, you know, the CEOs, when they leave a place, all the newspapers basically reprint the press release that
right.
guy's PR firm put out.
That's right. And while you may not, you know, most of us aren't in the position where we're going to have that press release, we still get to control the press release that we give to our coworkers and our friends and our family.
That's the external part of it, too.
Dirty laundry. We give the message which will make us look the best. In the best line.
Yeah. You know, here's the funny thing, though. It seems like every company, they play that telephone game. You know how that is? You get the straight story. The first guy gets it. Then they pass it along to the next guy. And by the time it gets to the 40th or 50th person, all of a sudden, you left because you killed your wife.
Jeez.
And you're on the lam with your children, and police haven't found you yet. And that's why you left the job. Whereas you left the job for other reasons, perhaps you got a better job somewhere else. But ultimately, the telephone game happens at every place. You can't avoid that, can you?
No, but I think you can set yourself up for the most success. I mean, if you start bad-mouthing your boss or bad-mouthing the company, then you're guaranteed to look bad.
Yeah, true.
I mean, when I resigned one position, I said, well, it's not because of the management and it's not because of the stuff that I'm working on, and it's not the people that I'm working with. It's about my own personal journey. Well, in fact, it was about all three of those things that I said. And people who really knew me knew that.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a polite fiction
yeah.
that we could all everybody could save face, and you know, no bridges were burned.
You know, when you put together this exit plan blueprint that you talk about, it forces you to consider all your options. But I wonder if it also serves to cause a lot of people to take a hard look at their situation and perhaps say, you know what, I've got it good here. I'm the problem. I just need to straighten up and turn this into something great.
Well, sometimes we feel like quitting because we feel like we're not appreciated, or we feel like people aren't taking us seriously. We feel like we're not getting the right kind of opportunities. And very often, if those are the feelings you're having, chances are you're going to find the new job where in 18 months, you're going to start feeling not appreciated again. And in that case, we need to learn our political savvy skills. We need to learn how to say no and how to not let other people take credit for the work that we're doing. And those are skills that just don't appear out of the blue. There are things that we need to take seriously and learn and practice and get better at.
Yeah, and learn how to get another job before you quit the one you have now. That'd be good. That's the good advice right there, isn't it?
I like that idea.
But
I think having something else lined up is the conventional way of approaching leaving your job.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of hybrid models that people can take. Like sometimes you can resign your position and then stay on as a part-time contractor, where you would get paid by the hour, where you might work 10 or 20 hours a week instead of the 60 or 80 hours that you were working previously, just to work on a few continuing projects. And that way you'll have some more time.
I'd like to step down as CEO, but remain on the board of directors.
Ooh, I like that.
That's right. Just send me the fat check and I can show up once a month for a meeting.
Yeah, kind of like our city council. I mean, and what?
What? Busting Your Corporate Idol is the name of the book. Dr. Greg Marcus, thank you as always. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure.
Thanks so much, Phil.
All right, there he goes. And the book is in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And speaking of doctors, we keep hearing about the doctors who are going out to West Africa dealing with the Ebola. And this story is growing. It's gotten to our borders now, and it's going into a lot of places, Jay.
It has. I'm going to give you three kind of bullet points on what's happening right now. In Dallas, Thomas Duncan, he's the first Ebola patient diagnosed in the U.S. He's now receiving experimental drugs to try and help to, like, fight the disease. They're coming out of the CDC center in Nebraska. They've actually quarantined some people who lived with Duncan. They've quarantined his apartment. People who live near where this guy lives in Duncan have been turned down for jobs, have been turned away from schools. So it's kind of an issue there. Now, in Spain, a nurse in Madrid contracted Ebola. Three more people have been quarantined because they might have it, who worked with the nurse. Officials really don't know where or how the nurse in Madrid contracted the disease. Now, President Obama said yesterday, Monday, that he wants additional passengers, passenger screening at airports. He didn't say what kind of screening. He didn't say where it's going to start or how it's going to start. But it looks like more security measures are coming at airports.
Yeah. All right. Interesting times for sure. We all want to stay healthy. We all want to know what Ebola is and how to avoid getting it. Coming up, a doctor who recently returned from Liberia, where Ebola is everywhere, will join us live to talk about what she saw and what she sees coming for us. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin are here. Erin Myers has the day off. She'll be back on our next program. The Ebola epidemic is on everybody's minds these days because there are patients in a lot of places now, including here in the U.S. Are we prepared? Can there be an outbreak on the magnitude that they're experiencing in West Africa? Joining us live now is an international health expert who recently returned from the epicenter of this deadly disease, Dr. Mardia Stone. Doctor, did I say your name correctly?
Mardia.
Mardia Stone. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Now, you just returned. You check out. You're healthy, right? No.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Good to know. And you just got back from Liberia. Describe for us.
I just got back from Liberia.
Yeah. Describe for us what you saw there.
Well, basically, I saw a country with people that are just terrified because they don't know who has Ebola and who does not. And a country where the culture is changing because Liberians are a group of people that like to touch each other. So nobody's touching, nobody's hugging, nobody's shaking hands. And, you know, the epidemic is escalating. The cases are increasing. I was in Liberia in April, and they had only 5 cases of Ebola at that time. In August, they had almost 1,000 cases. And so people were just terrified. The coordination mechanism was not quite in place. The government had a lot of difficulties just getting a handle on the number of cases and the escalation at the rate that the cases were occurring. So it was a very difficult environment to be in and a very difficult environment to work in.
If that escalation continues at that pace, how many infections are we projected to see by the end of the year?
Well, you know, the doubling time is estimated to be every 3 weeks. So the case rates double every 3 weeks. Where you had 5 cases in April, now you have almost 4,000 cases as of September the 29th. And they're expecting by the end of October, they'll have even twice that number. So, you know, it's really rapidly increasing. And I think that is because people are not listening to the public health messages that the government is disseminating.
Right. And the likelihood of death is pretty good in every infection, is it not?
Well, the case fatality rate is now about 56%. It used to be 90% back in the DRC Congo where it started. But in Liberia, there have been a number of survivors. You know, they have over 100 survivors, probably up to 150 or 200 by now, who have actually survived Ebola virus disease. And these are people who didn't have any experimental drugs. They didn't have any ZMAP. You know, they were just taken to treatment centers early enough to get the supportive care that they needed in order to recover. Because as you know, there is no cure for Ebola. You simply have to treat symptomatically. And, you know, the treatment is individualized because you treat whatever symptoms the individual presents with.
Well, you saw the fear there in Liberia. And we're having cases in other places now. You see what's happening in Spain at the hospital there, and then we have the case in Texas. And I believe people are frightened because they hear about the infection rate. They hear about the president talking about airport screenings. We don't know exactly what that means yet. If they're on an airplane and there's an Ebola patient or somebody who doesn't even know they're infected with Ebola. I mean, the people don't know how quickly they can get infected or if they're even safe at this point, because there are only a couple of cases outside of Africa that we know about, a handful of cases. But do you see any comparison in the way people are reacting in Spain and here in the United States to what you saw there in Liberia?
No, it's different. I think people here, you know, are subjected to a lot of sensational journalism. You have a lot of inflated images on the television. You have the panic statements being made all over the place. But people in America don't need to be panicking and they don't need to be afraid because you have the infrastructure in place. You have the healthcare system in place. You have the physicians, you have the health professionals in place, and you have the infectious disease specialists, you have the isolation units, you have state-of-the-art hospitals in place. You know, so it's different in Africa, where the healthcare system in Liberia literally collapsed, where you don't, you know, you couldn't even get primary health care if you didn't have Ebola. It's not the same thing. So people don't need to worry, you know, to that degree.
We hear the president talking about screenings at airports, and that makes you worry a little bit, too. Is that even a good idea? Is it prudent to do that?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do at the airport? Take the temperature of somebody? Because, you know, ask them if they had a headache. I just left Liberia 3 weeks ago, and I went through a rigorous training process, you know, that actually has been designed by the Centers for Disease Control in conjunction with the Airport Authority in Liberia. And they put you through the screening thing before you even enter into the perimeter of the airport. Your temperature is taken. The driver of the car that is taking you to the airport has his temperature taken. Nobody except the passenger and the driver are allowed to enter into the perimeter of the airport. You get into that area, you're given a questionnaire. It's a one-page questionnaire that's pretty detailed. And what do they ask you? Have you been exposed to anybody who had Ebola? Have you been exposed to anybody who died from Ebola? Do you have a headache? Do you have a fever? Have you had a headache? Have you had a fever? Those kinds of questions. And then, you know, after your luggage is weighed and all of that, you go to another station where there are nurses, two nurses, who review your questionnaire, take your temperature again, and then direct you to a hand-washing station. This hand-washing station has, you know, a highly concentrated chlorinated solution. So you have to wash your hands literally before you even enter into the terminal. That's the kind of screening process they have in place in most of the African countries that are affected, in Liberia in particular. And the same process occurs when you're entering the country. You know, you go through the same temperature taking, you have the questionnaire, you have to wash your hands. And if either on the inbound or outbound you have a temperature, you're not allowed to enter the terminal. And if you're not allowed to enter the terminal, you're definitely not allowed to enter the airplane. And so what they do is they have an isolation unit at the airport where they will direct you to, you know, and have you tested for Ebola. So the only process that they could institute here at the airport is probably a similar thing, asking you, where have you been? How long were you there? Were you exposed to anybody who had Ebola? And if you were exposed to anybody who had Ebola, it's a question now of whether or not people will answer the question truthfully.
Yeah, and that's a big deal right there. In fact, that was the deal with the guy in Texas, that he didn't answer his questionnaire truthfully. I wish we had more time to talk about this, and we don't know what it's going to take to turn things around, but can you imagine Americans even standing for all the things that the Liberians have to go through in the current quarantine situation?
Not at all.
No, we would just all die of Ebola. We would choose that because we wouldn't want to be late for our flight. Silly Americans. That was Dr. Mardia Stone, just back from Liberia. Eye-opening stuff. And that's it for this hour. More to come, including protection from just about everything good about sex. And our travel guy says, whatever you do, please do not take this trip right now. Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation, and music for that matter. We have the stories you care about the most, and you hear from the experts, authors, and others. And along the way, we hope to put a little smile along your face. Is that even possible?
Well, I guess it is along your face.
This hour, Jay, pretty soon we'll have to be completely shrink-wrapped before we have sexual relations. One of the richest people on the planet is a high school dropout and a woman. The friends are here. You heard Jay's voice, Jay Campadonia. Chris Martin is here. Erin Myers has the day off. She'll be back on our next program. I'm Phil Hewlett. And we'll right this ship immediately and get things started for the second hour. I joke about the shrink wrap, but I may not be that far off from the truth and reality these days, right, Jay?
You are not, Phil. There's an Atlanta company, right, that is making, I don't know, a modern day, I don't really want to call it a chastity belt, but.
What is it?
What is it?
It's called the ScroGuard.
Wait a minute.
It is a plastic pelvis cover.
Yeah?
Okay.
What's the point of it?
It is to reduce skin-to-skin contact. Now, it resembles plastic underwear, latex underwear.
Yeah.
Covering everything in the pelvic region except for the area where a condom would be used. And it's meant to work in conjunction with the condom. Now, the company says it's to try to prevent the spread of herpes and HPV, which you can get from skin-to-skin
contact. Oh, gosh. When are they just... Do you have a picture of it there?
I do, and I don't like looking at it. It's like looking at a dude with underwear with a hole in the exact right spot.
Oh, well, that's not. Those look more like, you know, those fishing pants that you put on when you have to wade out into the water.
They're called waders.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, only with the legs cut off.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, that's kind of what it looks like.
Why don't they just? Okay, you know, we always have the ideas on the program, and I never capitalize on them. So you go ahead and make this one. Get your Kickstarter going. Why not condoms that you pull up? You know, from your feet, you pull up over your legs, and you put them on
like a pair of nylons,
like a pair of pants,
no, like a pair of weight.
Well, they could be
with
shorts,
overalls.
Yeah, right. You could put straps over your shoulders so they don't come off. But no, extend the condom to just cover your entire area there.
You know, I don't know. I guess this way it's different. I don't know.
That just looks stupid.
It does look stupid. I understand what they're trying to do.
Can you send the photo to the web?
Munchkins,
yeah,
yes.
So that they could post that on our show fun page.
So that yes. You can really freak them out, too.
Yes, and so for $20, Chris, you can have this.
You will not see me anywhere near that. I feel like this is an invention that will go nowhere fast. I think it's good fodder to talk about.
Is it single use?
No, it's reusable.
Reusable?
That is...
You could use it as many times as you want.
A great question. It doesn't say in the story.
You throw it in the wash? Hang it out on your line.
Just put it in the dishwasher
with the rest of your unmentionables.
Oh, God. It's
basically a piece of tarp with a hole in it.
That's basically
what
it is.
By duct tape.
Now,
you're right, Chris.
Yet another thing that you have to be embarrassed about putting on the conveyor belt at the checkout.
I know. You know, that's one of those products that, like, when you go to, you know, the drugstore and you're buying condoms, you go by and you buy, like, candy,
right.
You buy a soda, you buy a magazine.
Try to make people think that you're normal.
Right, exactly. Oh, I'm not just here, you know, because I'm going to get laid in an hour. I'm here because I needed some other stuff, too, you know?
But this is more like, you know, when Grandpa has to put the 12-carton package of Depends on the conveyor belt. And then you got the steak and the beers and the charcoal lighter and all of that.
Right.
And then you throw this on the conveyor belt?
Boop. Well, hey, if boop. You are, it's just like.
Oh, you know, the ScroGuards, those are 2-for-1 today. Do you want to go back and grab a couple more?
Well, yeah.
I need a price check on ScroGuard. Price check on ScroGuard. Aisle 2. Thank you.
Oh, that is something. No, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
But I feel safe in my. Sexual activity, married for a long, long time.
Good for you.
Don't
Phil.
Plan on making any changes.
Attaboy. Look at you scoring points all over.
So if you plan on being a groupie, get in line. I'm not even paying attention. All right? Can't have none of this.
Look at you. Good for you.
All right. But people are up to all kinds of shenanigans when it comes to sex, and there's something going on in New York, isn't that right?
Well, a guy in New York calls the cops because his house was broken into while he was there. He claimed that he was tied up along with a few of his quote-unquote friends.
Tied up?
Tied up. They were tied up and then robbed.
Oh, not recreationally tied
no,
up.
No. Guy, he's hanging out with his quote-unquote friends.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple guys came in at gunpoint, tied them up, took their cell phones, took their wallet, about $4,000 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And the cops came and they go, okay, well, let's start questioning some people. Let's see what people know. Let's see what people saw. Turns out the guy was running a brothel. Those were not his friends. They were clients.
Yeah.
And the women there were the
employees.
Employees.
The workers.
Yes. So now he faces a felony charge of prostitution. And in New York City, it's kind of, that's probably the city that you can do it because there's not a lot of cars going in and out of your driveway.
Yeah.
Like, you live in the suburbs, you can't do something like that.
Right.
But, it, you know, everybody walks in New York.
Sure. Or you get dropped off by a cab.
Right. And that's, you know, that's nothing out of the normal.
Make sure to have a bike rack out front for the peddlers.
Sure. The guy said that the robbers came in waving guns and machetes.
Wow. They weren't smuggling any drugs, were they?
No, and evidently when the guy said, hey, look, I'm going to call the cops, so whoever wants to help with the investigation can help, he says about five guys bolted.
Oh, right.
I'm just going to leave it behind. I don't even care. Yeah. My wife finds out I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, right. See, those are the priorities.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. But no drug smuggling.
No drug smuggling. They didn't find any drugs there in the brothel hotel, brothel in New York. But in Massachusetts,
where are you going with this?
They did arrest a woman on narcotic charges. Evidently, she had 13 oxycodone pills worth around $350 hidden on her person. Just stay with me now.
But where?
Stay with me now. So they pulled her over because evidently she had some like a bad taillight or something. They pull her over. They go, you got any drugs in the car? Typical cop questions, right?
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, I've got an ounce of marijuana in the center console. So they pull her out. They're patting her down, and they find a pill on the ground. They're like, do you know anything about this? No, I don't know anything about it. So then they haul her in on suspicion, right?
Yeah, sure.
They haul her in. So they're bringing her into the police station, and they notice that her posterior looks a little hard.
Enhanced?
Hard.
Oh.
Like hard.
Yeah.
And they, you know, when they pat, when the female officer was patting her down, they go, what is this?
Wow.
And she says, well, look, officers, I do not have a butt. So I wear a prosthesis to give me a butt.
Okay.
For aesthetics.
All right.
Turns out that's where she was hiding the drugs, in her fake butt.
Uh-oh.
Inside her fake butt. So they removed it, and then that's where they found
when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
I guess so.
It's like a human trunk.
Yeah. Literally, she had junk in her trunk.
Yes. Yeah. And when the cops thought she there was something up with her taillight, they were absolutely correct.
Yeah, I just thought it was pretty creative.
Yeah, all right.
I like that story.
Hey, Chris, how about them Dodgers?
How about them Dodgers? Everybody cross your fingers because we got a game tonight.
Yeah.
And if we're going to make it any further in this series, this game has to be won because, you know, it's only a five-game series.
Yeah, I don't like that about baseball. I like the seven game.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that.
I think that the Angels might have been able to
get some mo back on their side.
Pull up their sanitaries and pull off a win or two at least. No, they couldn't have? No, they were toast from the very start. Okay.
Yeah. The Angels got swept. That was unfortunate to see.
Yeah.
I mean, they took the first two games as far as they could. They
best
took
record in the
innings,
league, but... and then they just get smoked by KC, who's got the mo right now.
Yeah, well, you got to get the wood on the ball, and for us to have the batters that we have here in Anaheim and not be able to produce any big hits during that series is ridiculous.
Yeah. Pujols, Trout, and Hamilton combined for like three hits.
Yeah. Right, very lackluster performance. So now you got the Dodgers down 2-1 against St. Louis, who, Phil, you brought up. They come alive in the postseason. It's
sure.
just what they do. We saw what they did to us last season. And now we're in a very similar circumstance because you've got Kershaw on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game-deciding game, or excuse me, a series-deciding game.
And Kershaw's postseason ERA is like 15.
It's not great. Yeah, he got hammered on in game one.
And last year, too.
And last year. Yeah, it was like 9-1 last year. So we'll see what happens, but they're at St. Louis. The game started, I'm going to say 8 minutes ago.
Real time, yes.
Real time, and guess who's not in the game?
Somebody good?
Yeah, Yasiel Puig is
what?
Sitting the bench.
Why?
He's riding
is
the
he
pine.
In trouble?
You know, that's what everybody's asking. The truth is, he hasn't been batting very well.
Mattingly?
Ethier. Yeah, yeah. Andre Ethier's going to be playing in his stead, starting in his stead.
Mattingly has a history with Puig of going straight for the tough love.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Totally.
You know,
Mattingly kind of went nuts because he put Kershaw on the mound only after 3 days rest. Now he's pulling Puig. He's kind of making some managerial decisions, but you're absolutely right. It's very much, you know, look, Kershaw, pick up your bootstraps after giving up 6 runs the other night.
Right.
And now Puig, you're not hitting. Go sit down.
Yeah.
He's a good dad.
Although Puig was the only one to score in the previous game that we lost.
Yeah, but see, we're all smarter than Mattingly, right? We would have pulled Kershaw like a whole inning before he
even imploded. If you would have. The guy who replaced him got lit up also. I mean, that was
but you know, the score might have been 4-3.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, you change it up a little bit. It changes the pace of the game. Fun fact about Mr. Kershaw is that in his first two postseason starts, he has given up 15 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
15 runs.
Ooh.
I know.
15
games.
Runs or home runs? Runs.
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 Excuse me, runs.
Well, it's time to turn that trend around starting tonight, starting right now.
Rally hats. Hey, while we're on sports here, Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson, you know who he is. He's due in court tomorrow to face child abuse charges against him.
Yeah.
But that's not the only problem he's dealing with. According to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, I guess that's the local newspaper there in Minnesota, Adrian engaged in a hotel orgy back in 2011.
Okay.
There were 4 women in the room with him, plus 2 relatives.
Oh, well, it's a family affair.
Yeah, including his brother, who was a minor at the time. It gets worse.
Jesus.
One of the family members claims that Adrian paid for the night of drinking and sex with a credit card tied to his charity.
No, come on.
Which is supposed to help at-risk children. Now, it's unclear if he was in the habit of regularly stealing from his charity or if this was just a one-time mistake. The Star Tribune says it's hard to connect the dots because the charity's financial bookkeeping is a mess.
Oh, boy.
He was going to write it off. It's a tax write-off.
On top of that, some of the groups that Adrian's charity says it gave money to are denying that they received any cash. So that definitely does not look good. Adrian and his people have yet to comment on this report.
Yeah, of course not. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Is that bad or what?
That's...
It's beyond bad.
It's, yeah.
Well, for like 2 years now, the stories that come out about his decision-making have been... pretty alarming.
Well, you know, they're all animals. I mean, they're all animals. You have to be to play on that level and that aggressive of a sport.
Yeah.
They're all animals.
But you can't say all because look at a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, and I know they're the easy ones to point out. I'm sure that they do, but not like this.
You don't know that. Just because, you know, like there was...
You're saying until you get caught, those things stay hidden?
Yeah.
No foul. No harm, no foul.
By the way, though...
And we have short memories.
This is a report. It's all alleged. We don't know if any of this is true. But, come on, it probably is.
Jesus.
Who are we kidding?
Look at Phil. Phil's going to be like, you don't see these stories coming out of hockey.
No.
Right?
Never.
Of course you don't.
Yeah. No.
You don't see any stories coming out of hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, Chris.
Thank you. All right. Hey, up next, we're going to figure out why you are fat.
Hit the music.
No, that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Go.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Go to our website, philhewlettandfriends.com, and just poke around a little bit. There's ways to contact us. There's all sorts of hidden goodies and fun, like our show fun page, our links page. There's a store where you can purchase the books from the authors that you hear on this program. And you can also, you know, if you wanted to buy a toaster for your house, you could do that there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, in fact, cool. You haven't been to the store?
No.
You can buy all sorts of things.
Halloween costumes? Because that's coming up.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. Maybe. I'll check. There ought to be a way to do that.
Yeah.
You could get one of those fat suits and walk around town on Halloween. Jay?
Come on, Phil.
You know, look like a 600-pounder. They have those reality shows, right? 600 and Looking for Love, or what are they called?
Oh, God, no. Do they really?
Yes.
No, that can't be true.
I forget what it's called, but there's a show that starts with 600 pounds in the title. And it always cuts to the guy in the bed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? And somebody, like, swabbing off parts.
Oh, come on.
Parts that neither you nor I have.
Well, a bunch of guys over at Cornell University Food and Brand Lab.
Are they brainiacs?
Brainiacs at Cornell University. They say if you go to eat with somebody, it's like, hey, let's meet for lunch. Hey, let's meet for dinner. That kind of thing. A dining companion is what they call it. The heavier that person is, the more food you are likely to eat.
Yeah.
On top of that, the food is less likely to be healthy than if you eat with a thin person.
No kidding.
So if you are on a diet and you go out with somebody who is overweight, like I'm that guy. When people go out to eat with me, I'm that guy. I'm the overweight guy, right?
Yeah.
Because I'll order a hamburger, fries, and I want the hamburger with bacon and mushrooms and blue cheese.
And now if I order the chicken salad, I'm going to feel like an idiot.
So, exactly.
So I get the patty melt and the chili fries.
And you indulge with me.
Yeah.
So you are less likely to stay on your diet if you go, well, if you have fat friends, if basically is what it is.
Uh-huh.
So they took a woman, they put her in one of those fat suits that made her just 50 pounds, not 600 pounds, 50 pounds heavier than what she really is, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she said 32% of people gorged themselves when they ate with the fat person, same woman, no fat suit, and they stayed closer to their diet.
Here's a little game you could play at the restaurant next time.
Oh, God.
Look for the people who have gorged themselves. There's a distinct walk that they have when they're leaving.
Right. Is it a waddle?
Look for the gorge walk.
Yeah. It's that look on their face like, holy crap.
Where were these brainiacs from? Cornell?
Cornell University.
I think I have the same study here. There are several layers to it. In fact, they say pick a table that's well lit.
Oh.
If it's not clear why, they say, but they notice that if you sit in a dark section of a restaurant, you tend to eat more.
It's because your person across from you can't see it as well?
Or is it because you order more because in the dark you're likely to miss some of it, so you're more likely to hit enough to be satiated? Maybe that's it. Sit close to the door, they say. For whatever reason, people who sat the farthest from the door ate the fewest salads. And they were 73% more likely to order dessert than the average customer.
It is a total mental thing because people are going to see you if you're by the door and you don't want to be seen as a fatty.
I think that's what it is. So here, one more thing they say. Sit at a table, not a booth. People who sat at booths ordered fattier foods and ate more. Meanwhile, people who sat at a high-top table were more likely to start with a salad and skip the dessert.
You can see more of a person at a table than you can when they're in a booth.
Oh, and one more thing. Don't sit facing a television. Just like when you're at home watching TV, it causes mindless eating. You just feed your face.
Just stuffing it in there.
Yeah.
I had Chinese food the other night. I went to like a birthday party, and everybody's gone to the birthday party where they have the nacho bar.
Yeah.
I think I had 3 servings of nachos and then had Panda Express on the way home. I just kept shoving shrimps in my face as I was watching, you know, reruns of something.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Okay, so that's a new item too, right? The shrimp.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
I had it; it was delicious.
Did you?
Yeah,
I love it's the good stuff. I love the stuff.
There's an upcharge for it.
We need to keep track. Chris, you need to run a blog on the site. What I ate today.
What I ate today?
Well, because you're in great shape.
Boring. Yeah,
yeah.
But you're
the
thinnest
same
one
thing
here.
Pretty much every day.
I think
day.
People will eat what you eat because they want to, look, you know, look like they're in
Chris's
good shape,
guide to looking like a supermodel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like a best-selling book.
Yeah. Yeah, just think, you know? Hey, you know what everybody worries about these days? you know, they see the gas prices. We're in that lull period of time. We know that the prices are coming down a little bit. But then we also know that summer's going to come around again. And they're going to switch the blends here in California. And then it's going to go to like $9 a gallon. Chris, are the experts saying anything about gas these days?
They're saying that it's going to go down below $3, which is always nice to hear. I remember
Where?
Gas used to be a topic of conversation, and now we don't even really question it anymore. We just sort of pay it and get along with our lives. But yeah, right now,
below
Phil
three?
And Jay, 10% of the country has gasoline that is under $3 a gallon, and come the middle of fall, it will be 60% of the country, even potentially here in Southern California.
Below three. Can you believe that, Jay?
That'd be great.
It would be.
$2.99 or lower. Yeah, there'll be some places where it'll be down in the 250s, 260s.
No, I want that.
Yep.
I do, too. All right. You want to do more show?
Absolutely.
I mean, it felt like that's all I need. Gas below $3.
A $1,700 hamburger.
And a booth in the dark.
Life is complete.
Hey, we're talking about the changes of the seasons. Your travel options change as well. Where to find the deals and the trip you should avoid at all costs this time of year when our travel guy joins us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, here we go. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Jay and Chris are here. Erin has the day off. One more day. She'll be back on our next program. And here we go. Why don't we go somewhere? Don't you want to take a trip, take a vacation? Our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here. Check him out at GaryWarner.com. You know, Gary, all these weeks of talking to you, I didn't realize you had GaryWarner.com, but then I found it, and there you were.
Yeah, it's sort of a work in progress, but it's a lot of fun.
It's worth visiting just to see the picture of you with some sock puppet.
Yeah, I mean, it's a puppet from the old SpongeBob SquarePants show.
Oh, really?
That's Plankton, the evil genius.
Yeah. Okay,
so,
good.
So
your alter ego. I like that.
Yeah, my alter ego.
Hey, this seems like an in-between travel time, doesn't it?
That's exactly what it is. It's one of two what they call shoulder seasons, which I guess means either you're not in your head or your belly. Or something like that, but it's the period where basically summer slides into fall. Most of the folks who are doing resort type trips either aren't doing them or it's really not the weather to do them anymore. Trips kind of move more towards going out to cities, seeing the new Broadway shows, maybe exploring small towns for their fairs, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's a good time to save money, I would guess, right?
It's a good time to save money because basically, one of the funny things this time of year is that you'll see all these ads, especially online, for fair sales. You know, they're the big fair sale, 2 days only, you know, from United or American and the international ones also. They aren't really fair sales. What it is they're just resetting their fares off of these summertime, you know.
Oh, when they were gouging. Is that what they were doing in the summer? They were charged because they know we want to take a vacation in the summer, so they were gouging us.
Jerks. A fare to Europe for $800, you're supposed to feel like somehow you've hit the lottery instead of feeling like, wow, this is still a lot of money.
Yeah. All right. So this shoulder time that we're talking about here, give us some destinations.
Well, mostly it's the cities. The cities really get going. Everybody has a fall season for the most part. Either new big museum exhibitions. For other folks, it's like the football season is going on. The college campuses are up and going. And again, a great place to go during the football season to see a game. New York is the big center of everything between now and Thanksgiving, with all the Broadway shows opening up. A lot of movie stars are coming back to the stage. Glenn Close is going to be on the stage. But my pick for a show this year on Broadway is a really interesting one called The
The what?
I want to know when the weather cools down for fall.
Yeah, well, I want to find out what the show is first. It's called.
Let me do the show first.
The Kit. What's it called? Tell us what it's called again.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Right. And it's a stage adaptation of a Mark Haddon book about a 15-year-old autistic genius. Now, this doesn't sound like something that, you know, you'd be toe-tapping your way out of, you know, after seeing, but it is a straight-up drama, but it won 7 Olivier Awards, sort of the equal to the big stage awards over here in London. That's a record tire from all time. And that production is basically moving lock, stock, and barrel over to Broadway. And I think it's just going to, you know, it'll be one you'll be hearing a lot.
And look at you, travel guy gone Tony Award-winning Broadway guy.
Hey, you do a little bit of everything. You know, there's that ticket spot in Times Square. I don't know if you've ever done this, Phil, but you can go the day of, and there's a box office where you can get half-price tickets for pretty much all shows. You know, all the what they call the truck companies are in there. Mm-hmm. You know, with Cats and all the musicals. But even some of the hotter shows, you can grab a couple of tickets, maybe upstairs for half the price and see a
great
show.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here. We're at the end of the baseball season, but I'm thinking this time of year, if I'm not a Broadway guy, you've got hockey season and basketball season kicking off, and so you could pick your team and pick a road trip where maybe they hit 3 or 4 or 5 cities in a particular region, and you could and you could follow your team and take a little trip to those cities over a week and a half.
No, I'm a pure baseball guy. I admit, but I've done that with baseball. You can certainly do it with basketball.
Yeah, but summer baseball is going to cost you a lot of money. That's summertime. I mean, the hockey and the basketball. This is the sweet spot you're talking about right now. This shoulder time.
This is true. Although getting around can be a little bit difficult. You know, you get some canceled flights and things like that. But no, it's a great time to go on a road trip. Each of the teams have organized fan trips, but you can also just do it yourself. I went out to and went from Chicago to Cincinnati to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia, and saw a lot of the.
Well, he's not seeing a lot of time on the air right now because the line keeps pulling out. So why don't we call it we're going to flip all the cards and thank Gary for spending some time with us today. And so the basic idea is, do we have him for one more thing? We don't. He's gone.
We're in the armpit traveling season, and now's the time to get your tickets.
Now, the only thing that we didn't get out of him that I happen to know because I did my homework is that he said, whatever you do, do not go on a cruise this time of year.
Jay would agree with that.
Yeah, any time of year.
Well, no, he didn't say any time of year. He said just right now, because this is hurricane season. You'll probably get a good price, but the chances are pretty good you're going to get swamped.
That you're going to die.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
You're either going to get swamped or you're going to die.
Why does that lady in Oregon go on one of those right about now?
Well, that would be a more pleasant way to go, wouldn't it?
Then she can, gorge herself on the all-you-can-eat buffet and then, you know, go out that way.
I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, what does?
Cruises are gross. They're like floating Petri dishes.
Yeah. But you do get a whole bunch of food when you're out there. Hey, you know what? Cake is delicious, isn't it?
Yes.
You're not going to get an argument with us over that. No. But I'm not sure it's this delicious. A new survey has asked people what they would rather give up than cake. and the results are pretty unbelievable.
My left arm.
Yeah. 1 in 4 men and women would rather give up social media than cake.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I mean, how often are you eating cake anyway?
It should be daily, but it is not. Unfortunately, it is not.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like I only have cake at parties, birthday parties, you know, wedding parties, that sort of thing. Just under 1 in 4 would rather give up wine than cake.
That's a tough
one.
No
way.
13% would rather give up their favorite TV show than cake.
That's funny.
13% would rather give up their cell phone than cake.
Wow, no way.
Yeah. And finally, 16% of women and 9% of men say they'd give up sex. Not just give up sex for a couple of days. They'd give up sex forever.
Aww.
Rather than give up cake.
They have bad partners. That's the problem.
Why not integrate the two?
Oh, come on. No, Phil. Don't ever do that.
No?
It's gross. You get cake all over the bed or wherever.
Somebody's got to clean it up, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, up next, what's better than a glass of beer and a piece of toast? Don't answer that question yet, but Jay has the remarkable answer. You will not believe it. And it's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. So glad you tuned in to this edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Go listen to them all. They're all available for you at philhewlettandfriends.com. Right there on the homepage. You can also, on the How to Listen page, there's a little sub page. You're going to find it. There's a little chicklet. And you can listen to every one of the programs that we've done over however long it has been that we've been doing this. It's been like 150 shows or so.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been over a year, I know that.
Various characters. I've been on every one of them. Jay has been on almost every one of them. Chris has been along for a majority of the time.
Since I started, yeah.
Yeah, since that.
You think?
Since
you
started. Think, Chris, I started. Yep.
It's true, though. He hasn't missed a day.
Good job,
perfect
buddy.
Attendance. Although I've got you beat by about a handful of shows.
Right.
There were the dark years, the Carlo days.
It is the Phil Hewlett and Friends show.
Yeah. No, no, no. Yeah, Mike Stark hasn't missed a single day, our executive producer. And he was here before I started.
Yeah. And he'll be here after you.
That's right. He stays after the show's over, and he does other shows.
Oh, boy.
Because he two times us.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. He did. All right, so we love the beer on the program.
Oh, yes, we do.
But this has taken beer to another level.
Well, being Jay? Italian, I had to talk about this story because an Italian food company has come up with what they call birra spumabile.
What?
Birra spumabile.
What does that mean?
It is spreadable beer, Phil.
Can you say it one more time?
Birra spumabile.
Wow.
You're welcome. Now, so basically what it is a spread for crackers or toast, and it contains 40% of beer. It's meant to go with cheeses or appetizers, but they like to put it in pastries over there, okay?
Really? What do they add to it to make it spread? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. It doesn't even go into the process or whatever, but
okay.
How they make it, beer in the spread.
It's not just really old beer, is it?
No, no. No, but that is disgusting.
Dumped into peanut butter.
There's a major problem with it, though.
Uh-oh.
Major problem.
What's
with
that?
Birra spumabile. It has no alcohol.
What?
No alcohol.
Well, because you cook it out, probably,
I guess. You better really like the taste of beer.
Yeah, you know what? Gosh, the basic American-style pilsners, there isn't really a lot of flavor there.
True.
I'll be honest with you.
True.
You know, people have been drinking it forever, and my apologies to the big beer makers, but the craft brew guys, they're coming up with lots of flavors.
They are, but it's gross. I'm a Coors Light guy.
Yeah.
I'm a, you know, Bud Light every once in a while, Miller Light every once in a while. Coors Light's great. Yes, it tastes like water, but it's that refreshing pop of the can on a hot day, little ice chunks. Oh, that's the best. I don't want...
Ice chunks. You put your beer in the freezer?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. 28 minutes, done.
And you get just a little bit of chunky beer.
It is the best. On a hot day, yes.
It's like a beer slushy.
Oh, it's the greatest. The greatest.
All right.
So I don't know if I want it on my toast.
Yeah.
But, you can buy it here in the United States.
Yeah, where?
Firebox.com.
Firebox.com. I might have to add that to the links.
Yes. No Lindsay Lohan jokes.
All right. Good. I've noted that. One more time. Give us the name.
Bile spamabile.
Sounds like you're singing.
It does sound like you're singing, and it sounds like you're not very good at it.
Oh.
Come on. But Chris, why? But are you any better?
Speaking of singing, I'm a terrible singer, but as usual, I always do keep my eye on what's trending on the interweb, and Anna Maria Hefele is a singer, but not a traditional singer.
No.
She uses polyphonic overtone techniques, Phil, which is known as throat singing. In other words, she can sing two notes at the same time, overtones and undertones, and she's made a significant amount of buzz over the weekend. Her video had something like 1 million hits, and now it's already up to 4 or 5 million.
Why, is it good, or is she just fun to watch?
It's interesting. Some people are saying that she is otherworldly. Others are commenting and saying, burn the witch. Seriously, this is witchcraft.
Well, what does it sound like?
Well, let's show you. Mike has it queued up.
What the hell? Wow. She doesn't have something in the back of her throat to make that happen?
Maybe.
That is weird.
Maybe,
man.
She has some extra flange back there or something.
Oh, what? No. When I said something extra, I was thinking she didn't pull something out of a Cracker Jack box and, you know, like a...
Yeah,
like
no,
one of those whistles?
A little whistle.
Yeah.
She's holding it back harmonica. There with her tooth.
How is that? Why? Okay.
Was that pleasing?
No. Somebody explain to me, like, how that is good singing. Like, I don't understand.
I don't know about good other than, you know, it is some form of talent, right?
Sounds like something out of Star Trek.
What's it good for?
Right.
Good for about 5 million hits on YouTube.
Well, that'll make her some money.
I don't know what that cost per thousand is, but it's good for that.
Will that get her
and
rich?
And growing.
Get her on the Forbes rich list or something?
Maybe. And if it would, she still would not be the youngest female to ever reach the Forbes richest list, because that spot is already taken. That spot is taken.
By whom?
By, let's see, what's her name?
Nah, you lost it? You lost the name?
Elizabeth Holmes. She's 30 years old. She made the list. She's the youngest self-made female ever. Oh, by the way, this all comes on the heels of Forbes releasing its 400 most rich people in America list, which, of course, for the 21st year in a row, Microsoft founder Bill Gates tops the list with $81 billion.
He can't give his money away fast enough.
No, really. He's also quite a philanthropist.
Yes.
So this young lady, Elizabeth Holmes, she's a college dropout from Stanford. You know, that's the other thing I always find interesting about these college dropouts. They drop out from, like, some great college. You know, they dropped out of Harvard or Stanford. But what she did is, in 2003, she created a new blood testing technology that only required a tiny pinprick on the finger for testing,
yeah,
which we see all over now. She's the inventor of that. She ended up soliciting it to Walgreens and other major distributors.
So every time a phlebotomist pricks my finger and squeezes it, and a little blood bubble comes up, they owe Elizabeth Holmes a little money, a little royalty?
Well, first you're going to have to explain to me what a phlebotomist is before I can answer that question.
When you go in and you get the blood tested, the phlebotomist is the person who sticks the needles in your arm.
All right. I learned something new. Yes, she gets a chunk of that.
They have those big rubber bands that you wish you had in your garage, you know, that they wrap around your arm.
Right.
You never have those when you need them, right?
What?
But the phlebotomist has those big things that they wrap around.
No, I don't ever need them because I don't do heroin, Phil.
And then they give you that little thing in your hand. They say, here, squeeze.
The ball, yeah, the
now,
squeeze ball.
How many job descriptions are there where you have the opportunity to say, here, squeeze? I can only think of a couple.
Yeah.
And Dr. tops that list. But, yes, she has sold many of those devices that test your blood, much so that she's now worth $4.5 billion.
Wow.
There's 27 other newcomers on the list, including the guy that made Rockstar, somebody else in video gaming. But here's the interesting part. 133 billionaires were too poor to make the rich list.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez.
Take that, Dr. Evil.
Damn.
Well, a couple of good ladies there, though. The singing lady and the rich lady, the young 30-year-old. Got any more ladies for us to know about there, Jay?
I got one more. I don't know if she will make the billionaire list, but she definitely makes the 100,000-aire list.
Okay.
61-year-old out of England who got nailed with breast cancer, right?
Oh, no.
She lost two sisters to breast cancer. So back in 2007, she decided that she would probably die from it, too. So she started to embezzle from her real estate company that she worked for. She made 390 transfers from her company's bank account, totaling almost $630,000.
Wow.
That's in 2007. Now, in 2010, turns out she was right. She was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
And she figured, okay, look, if my two sisters died, I've got it now. I'm going to die. I'm going to go out and have a great time with this $630,000 because nobody's going to find out because cancer's going to kill me before anybody is wiser, right? Turns out she beat cancer. She beat it.
No kidding. And now good for her. Now where is she?
Now she's going to spend the next 4 years in prison.
Wow.
So the cops beat the cancer that she eventually beat, and now
I love
she's
her.
In jail.
She's crazy in a good way.
I know. I
like kind of like Amanda Bynes.
Oh, no.
Remember her?
Yes.
She's kind of loopy. Apparently, she told In Touch magazine that she's engaged to a 19-year-old guy named Caleb, who works in Costa Mesa, California. He's nearby.
Oh.
He works at a bait shop. He's quite a catch. Put on bump. And here's her quote. I am very needy for friendship, and I hate men. I want to F them, she says. Yeah. But I can now say I'm engaged. Get away from me. I want to be married, and I want to be away from people. That's her quote. She's a little loopy,
yeah,
in a good way.
I saw her in Vegas one time, and she looked like she was in her own world for sure. She didn't want anybody around her.
She wants to take this poor guy from a bait shop out of Costa Mesa. She says she wants to settle in New York because she'd rather ride a bike than drive. And in L.A., you need to drive. Here's another quote. I really do not enjoy driving. I don't like the way I look in a car. The lighting is very bad. And she also wants kids, but only boys because, quote, I don't want a gorgeous girl around. Then I would feel way jealous.
Oh, poor thing.
And she ends with the word, ooh.
Poor.
Well, that's
Amanda
manageable
Bynes.
Now. Can't you choose whether or not you have a girl or a
boy? Can we get
boy?
Caleb on the show?
In vitro?
I think we need Caleb on the show. Hey, we like your comments. Go to the website, philhewlettandfriends.com. You'll see the contact page. Just go ahead and contact us. We're at Faf Show on Twitter. We're on Facebook as well. Like our page. Thanks. Our executive producer is Mike Stark. Producer, Brooke Peterson. Production assistant is Nick Wright. Assistant in training, Richard Freifield. Freifeld, that's right. And we'll talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.